And greetings, friends. Where are we headed as the year 2006 begins? How will your life be changed this year? Can you really know what lies ahead? Can you prove your ideas and your feelings? There is a way to be sure. There is a way to build confidence for the future. Stay tuned. My friends, as we entered the year 2005, the world was still reeling with concern about the horrible tsunami that had just hit Southeast Asia. Remember? About 250,000 people were killed. Hundreds of thousands were displaced. Their lives will never be the same. Now, as 2006 begins, the United States is still reeling with deep concern over the massive destruction brought about by Hurricane Katrina. Think about it. We have just experienced the very worst natural disaster ever to strike the United States of America. About 1,000 people have died. Tens of thousands have been uprooted. Their lives, too, will never be the same. However, as we enter the year 2006, are we in for a peaceful year? Will things just get back to normal? Will American and the British descended peoples experience peace and prosperity as we've done for so many years? How will your life be affected by the events in 2006? My friends, there is a way to genuinely know. There really is. I deeply regret that many of you out there are not very religious. Mainstream Christianity, mainstream religion may have disappointed you, but there is a very real God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and you're going to come to understand that. The God of the Bible, the God who is now beginning to intervene directly in human affairs, much more than in recent times. Speaking to the American Congress during World War II, Sir Winston Churchill said, "There is a great design and purpose being worked out here below." Do you know that great purpose? If you look at the Bible with an open mind, you will find prophecy after prophecy which has been or is now genuinely being fulfilled. Notice what the Creator tells us in His inspired Word. Get your Bible if you have one. Check up on me. Prove these things from the Word of God. 2 Peter, I'm turning to 2 Peter chapter 1 and beginning here in verse 19. "We have also the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed as a light which shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first," God says, "that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Yes, God directly inspired the writing of the prophets of the Bible. Ancient Babylon, my friends, was predicted to fall and never rise again. We've explained that many times in our magazine. But ancient Egypt, strangely, was predicted, definitely, to be humbled and brought down, yet it was to remain as a nation to the very end of this age. How could God know that? How could God know that even today Egypt is a major nation in the Middle East, at least? What then does the Bible prophesy about your immediate future, about the next 5 to 10 years? I'm not talking about 30 or 60 years. I'm talking about the next 5 or 10 years. Think deeply about this, my friends. Jesus Christ was the greatest news forecaster in human history. He didn't just tell what news had happened. He described what would happen on this earth just before His second coming. Notice, turn to Luke chapter 21. We're turning to Luke chapter 21 in your Bible now, called the Olivet Prophecy, because Jesus gave this prophecy from the Mount of Olives. Luke 21, beginning in verse 7, His disciples ask Him, "Teacher, when will these..." what will be the sign when these things are about to take place. And Jesus said, take heed that you're not deceived, for many will come in my name. Notice, he said they would come in his name, not some other name. They would come in the name of Jesus. Christian preachers talking about Jesus. And they will say, the time is drawn near, therefore do not go after them. Often ministers back during the early ages would talk about Christ coming right then. He said events have to happen first, a whole series of events, as I'm going to show you, and we have a booklet on that. But when you hear of wars and commotions, don't be terrified, for these things must come first, but the end will not come immediately. Then he said, nation will rise against nation. That's always happened. And then he said, kingdom, a different Greek word though, basileia, meaning groups of nations, world war, empires against empire, world war. And then there will be great earthquakes, not normal earthquakes, great earthquakes in various places, and famines, lack of food, and pestilences, undoubtedly worse than has ever been before, because he's talking about the end. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. My friends, think about it. This is what the Son of God said. Notice the order of events. First, false prophets were to come in Jesus' name, and we certainly had hundreds of them. Next, we've had all kinds of wars and little wars all over the world. Right now, we have wars in Iraq and Palestine and many other nations, of course, all over, including many nations in Africa, constantly having these upsets and wars going on. Next, Jesus predicted great earthquakes, great earthquakes. Think about the terrible earthquakes in recent years in China, in Iran, in Mexico, and all over the world. And they are much worse recently, as the scientists have to admit. But Jesus Christ indicated much larger earthquakes will occur just before his second coming. Watch for them. Next, Jesus described famine, terrible lack of food and people being starved. Will we soon experience a serious lack of food right here, not only in Africa, but in many of our own Western developed nations? Yes, we will, my friends. That may seem strange, but you're going to live to see that, most of you, right here in Canada, the United States, Australia, and Great Britain. For your Bible indicates that this will happen. Next, disease epidemics are prophesied. And, of course, the scientists are already worrying about this avian flu. Is it going to develop into a full-scale pandemic? Again and again, the Bible pictures disease epidemics at the end of this age. Picture these things happening right here. And you'd better get ready and find out what you should do. But Jesus Christ described the terrors which would come. Terrible things. The word terror includes terrorism. And that was to happen at the end of this age and is happening. The recent London bombings are a stark reminder that terrorism did not end on September 11th, 2001. The Twin Towers were not the end, they were the beginning of what's going to begin to happen over the next several years. My friends, much more terrorism lies just ahead. I'm sorry to say that, but that is undoubtedly going to occur, and you need to understand, and you need to know what you should be doing. Am I just a doom and gloom prophet telling about these terrible things? No way! For nearly every major prophet in the Bible, guided by God the Creator, specifically warned God's people of these very types of things. And I'm giving you specific information about things that will happen before they happen, to help you. But what did the false prophets nearly always say? God describes that in many places. They always talked about peace and prosperity. Turn back to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah, in your Bible, chapter 6, and beginning in verse 13, God says, because from the least of them to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. Does that describe our nation? You better believe it does. Our Western nations, particularly America, are consumed with consumerism, as they call it, and wanting material things, covetousness. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. From the top levels of government right on down, we've had lying. He says, I didn't really have sex with that woman. Wow. from the very top, clear on down through our corporate executives that are being put in jail regularly for all kinds of rip-offs of us, when you consider the consumer aspect of it, all through our government, all through business, all through our society. Everyone deals falsely. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly. He talks about the ministry here, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. No, there's not going to be peace until Jesus Christ comes back to this earth as King of Kings, my friends. Notice Ezekiel 13, verse 9. God says, my hand will be against the prophets, or we can say the preachers in modern language, who envision futility and divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, or be written in the record of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter into the land of Israel. It's a principle. God's not going to bless false ministers, false preachers, false prophets. Then you shall know that I am the ever-living one. Because indeed, because they, these false prophets say, they have seduced my people, saying, peace, when there is no peace. That's what the false prophets have nearly always said. The true prophets can't be bearers of good tidings when terrible things are about to happen. And you know, and need to know, the awful truth about what is really going to happen just ahead in your life. And I'm giving it to you on these programs, along with Mr. Ames, to help you understand and prove these things to yourself, my friends. I again invite you to call or write now for our powerful booklet, one of the most powerful booklets we have ever published, entitled 14 Signs Announcing Christ's Return. This eye-opening booklet will be sent absolutely free upon your request. It tells you point by point what's going to happen. It spells out for you exactly what is prophesied to occur over the next several years of your life. This booklet will make your television news viewing and your newspaper reading far more meaningful. So call now or write us and request your free copy, absolutely free, of 14 Signs Announcing Christ's Return. Just ask for the booklet, 14 Signs. That's all you need.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now, my friends, back to our topic, 2006 and prophecy. Again, notice how the false prophets have nearly always talked only of peace and prosperity. That's what they often say, as it says here in Ezekiel, and this indication of what they were saying back then and what false prophets have nearly always said, because indeed, because they've seduced my people, saying, peace, when there is no peace. Yes, that's what God says the false teachers have generally said. Let the good times roll, they say, in our society. But when the great tribulation comes, which Jesus Christ prophesied, when that really occurs, their power of positive thinking will not save them. For only the true God, the God of the Bible, can save anyone. And we need to understand that. This idea of a kind of a generalized God, an idea of the essence of goodness out there, that's not God. I'm talking about the personal God of creation, the personal God who said, let there be light, and there was light, the God of this book, who describes specific, awesome things to happen to major nations, and they have occurred, and you can prove that. Always remember the following inspired principle. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13, my friends. Hebrews chapter 13. It says here, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And back in Malachi 3:6, it shows how God, he says, I am the same, I change not. Jesus Christ and the Father are the same. They always work in the same basic way. Their principle, their character is consistent. And they will always bring the same kind of punishment on any God-professing nation, any nation that understands, as they did in times past. Because that is the way they work. Notice back in Leviticus chapter 26, this great God, as you say, oh, well, this is the Old Testament. Oh, it is? Well, Jesus Christ constantly quoted from the Old Testament as Scripture. And he said in Luke 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. What word of God was Jesus talking about? The only written word of God was what we call today in the Christian world the Old Testament. It was the word of God. God gave this principle back here, this prophecy, about how he was going to deal with ancient Israel. And when you understand, which we've shown you many times on this program, that modern America and the British descended peoples are the descendants of the lost 10 tribes, he's frankly talking about us directly, our ancestors, and in type about us today, because he works the same way as he always did. Notice this prophecy in Leviticus chapter 26. The first several verses say, if you keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, verse 3, then I will give you rain in due season. And he says everything's going to work out wonderfully as you read the following verses. God will bless you in every way, he said. Verse 14, but if you do not obey me, he told our ancestors, and do not observe these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, and God's statutes directly forbid homosexuality, God's statutes directly forbid adultery and fornication, they directly forbid all kinds of looking at seances and dealing with the spirit world, which we do with our horoscopes and our fortune tellers and all this stuff. Yes, our nation despises it. Our highest courts, in fact, despise God's statutes and the kind of judgments they're handing down. By their fruits, you know them. If you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not perform all my commandments, but break my covenant, this I will do. This is what the great God of creation says. I will even appoint terror over you. That's the very first thing mentioned, my friends, terror or terrorism. Yes, God said that number one, and that's what began to happen. That was the first shot across the bow, September 11th, 2001. That was the beginning of these things that had kept on happening. That happened. The four terrible hurricanes across Florida a year or so ago. Then the terrible tsunami. And now, of course, we've had this terrible recent hurricane hitting New Orleans and the Gulf Coast. And now another hurricane building right now as I speak, perhaps going to hit Galveston or somewhere along the coast again. Is this the end? No, this is just the beginning. You despise my statutes, I will appoint terror, terrible things, including terrorism, wasting disease. Disease epidemics? Yes, we will have them in this modern society. Oh, we have our doctors and our medicines, you say. Well, there's nothing wrong with people having help. Jesus said, they that are sick go to a physician, and so on. But my friends, the medical profession and the hospitals are going to be absolutely overwhelmed by what's going to occur over the next 5 to 15 years. Probably the next 5 to 10 years, as I understand it. And I'm not trying to set some exact date. I'm just saying you better watch. These things are not off 20 or 50 years from now. They're going to begin to pick up steam as we go along. And you need to watch your world news and understand there's a pattern here of American and British descended peoples being brought down and down because we have known the truth. We have sent more Bibles and more missionaries and more things all over the world like that than all the other nations put together. But we've now got in perverted practices. And God's going to teach us a lesson. He's going to humble us because he loves us. Because God rebukes and chastens every son he loves. He says, I'm going to send terror over you, wasting disease and fever. Remember, my friends, the Twin Towers of New York City as they came crashing down? Remember those horrible events? the untold suffering of the thousands of friends and relatives left behind all over New York, all over Washington, this plane crashing in the fields of Pennsylvania to stop them from getting over to the White House, perhaps, the suffering brought on by all of that. Remember the suffering in London that took place in the London bombings? My friends, don't you dare think that this is the end of terrorism in America or Britain. God help you to understand. In Leviticus 26, let's go on now in verse 16. I will appoint this over you, terrorism, wasting disease, and you shall sow your seed in vain, he goes on to say. And he says, those who hate you shall rule over you. Yes, they're going to take over parts of the English-speaking nations. They're already beginning to do that to some extent in South Africa, and it's going to spread and spread bit by bit unless we repent, and we better understand that. You shall flee when no one pursues you. And after this, if you still won't obey me, he says, then I will punish you seven times, or as most scholars say, sevenfold, seven times as much for your sins. Our sins, our constant adultery, wife swapping, sex orgies, drunkenness, drug addiction, the perversion of our sex and our societies. We're condoning more and more and more, which God hates and which he calls an abomination. I will break the pride of your power. We've been the greatest nations. Together, America and Britain won World War I. Together, we won World War II. We won the first Gulf War, to a certain extent the second one, although it's still going on, isn't it? But now the tide is beginning to turn. He says, I will break the pride of your power. Billions of dollars and thousands of lives are being sent over there and spent over there in Iraq. We're going to have our nation's pride brought down by this and all the other things that are beginning to happen. I will make your heaven like iron, your earth like bronze, and your strength shall be spent in vain. For your land shall not yield its produce, nor the trees of the field their fruit. And then he describes, of course, terrible more plagues and disease epidemics to come. Remember the Dust Bowl and the terrible drought of the 1930s? Millions of people were displaced. Thousands of farmers never came back to the farm. Those things have happened, and those things will happen again here. The pride of our national power will be greatly humbled by the events in Iraq, in Iran, in Israel, and elsewhere throughout 2006. Our pride will also be brought down, my friends, by the continuing fall and devaluation of the American dollar and many other financial crises over the next several years. You watch. All of this will continue and intensify in the year 2006. Luke 21. Let's go back there again, my friends, to the Olivet prophecy of Jesus Christ, Luke chapter 21. And this time I want to begin in verse 22. After describing these terrible things, he says in verse 22, for these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. We're coming to the very time of the end. Woe to those who are pregnant and those with nursing babies, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. That was God's people in time past. It's going to be again. Jerusalem is a symbol for all of Israel. You read throughout the book of Ezekiel. And it's going to specifically affect Jerusalem, but all Israel as well. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive to all nations. And Jerusalem, just the city of Jerusalem, once again, is going to be humbled. It's terrible to think about if it's going to happen. Will be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And then there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and on the earth distress of nations. Distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring. We saw that in Hurricane Katrina. We saw that in the tsunami in Southeast Asia. This is going to intensify, my friends. Remember, my friends, it gets darkest just before the dawn. Christ is returning soon. Let's understand that. These things have got to occur soon because Christ is going to come right after that. Then he says in verse 28, when these things begin to happen, and they're beginning now, look up, lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Yes, my friend, the end of this age draws near. And he spoke to them a parable, to the fig tree and all the trees. And he said, when you know that they are budding, you see, and know for yourselves that summer is near. Yes, summer is just about to come when these things happen. Christ is about to return, and we can be grateful. So you likewise, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is not set up in your heart. The kingdom of God is a literal government to come back to this earth under Jesus Christ, who will come back as King of Kings, ruling this earth, not up in heaven. It's about to happen. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things are fulfilled. This generation, my friends, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. God help you to understand. Watch, therefore. Watch these events. Watch news. Study your Bible. Understand, my friends, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man as he comes again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Godspeed that day. Again, be sure to call now or write us to request your free copy of 14 Signs Announcing Christ's Return. You need this powerful booklet. This eye-opening booklet will help you really put the daily news in perspective. 14 Signs Announcing Christ's Return is a powerful tool to help you understand the real meaning of today's news and the prophecies of tomorrow's world. Yet this attractive booklet will be sent absolutely free upon your request. So call now or write today and request your free copy of 14 Signs Announcing Christ's Return. Just ask for the booklet on 14 signs. That's all you need. Call now. And tune in every week, my friends, to Tomorrow's World program. On this program, you will gain precious information and insights available nowhere else. Richard Ames and I will give you powerful news, powerful understanding of current events and of the exciting prophecies of tomorrow's world. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. To view today's program, order the free literature offered, or for more information on today's vital subject, visit us online at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.